produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett.
Good day, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. The Lord is merciful, but whom? The Lord is gracious. The Lord is powerful. The Lord is mighty. The Lord is strong. Praise you, Jesus. I'm just reminding you of who is this God that you serve. Praise you, Jesus. I'm challenging you today. Because when you read the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 15 says, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were the fine dust. Imagine, Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. Amen. We are absolutely nothing. If we contend with the Lord, you cannot contend with God. That's what I'm saying. You cannot contend with God. Because we are as nothing. We are just like a drop in a bucket. Ooh-wee. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman cast it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Hey, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and his people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. Ooh-wee! So what am I saying today? What is the Lord saying to us today? God is still asking us this question. God 25. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all this? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Praise you, Jesus. Brethren, I'm challenging you today. Wait, see, people are living under fear. We are living under fear because we have forgotten who this God is. Who is this Jesus? Who is this God? The one who created the heavens and the earth. The one who stretched out the heavens. Praise you, Jesus. And now, why do we fear men? Yesterday I said to you, why fear men whose breath is in his nostrils? Verse 24 of chapter 40 of Isaiah says, no sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. In a whirlwind sweeps them, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. Aramidimi brings them to naught. So what I'm saying to you today, I said your vision cannot go uncontested or without contention. It will always have enemies around it. Whether it's a business idea, whether it's ministry, whatever it is that God has bestowed inside of you, that seed that is in your loins cannot go unchallenged. But God is saying, You know, the greater the challenge, the greater the mandate. Praise you, Jesus. And when you understand who you are, and when you understand this thing that you carry, and when you understand that there will be the size of the army is not the same size that your neighbor has, same size that your colleague has, you'll understand that your calling will call a great army against you. Then where do you run to? Do you try to fight these things alone? No. Remember, the God that you serve says, I am the one who is the everlasting God. I'm the creator of the ends of the earth. And I will not grow tired or weary. Watch over verse 28, and his understanding no one can fathom. Praise Jesus. How he operates, how he thinks, no one can fathom. You know, you can pray for something and hope that God will give you the response that you're expecting, but God is not like man. Praise Jesus. Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed him as his counselor? Ooh-wee. God doesn't need us as a counselor. In verse 13, God himself has created everything, and he knows in the fullness of time this will happen. Hallelujah. So whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it and taught him knowledge? Who showed him the path of understanding? Kiriko, when no one became a counselor to God, no one was consulted by God, no one enlightened God, no one taught God. Hey, Jesus. And now, Bakhaitu, since we are described as a drop in a bucket, dust on the scales, and he weighs us as islands. Oh, Jesus, as though we are fine dust. My question is, why are you so fearful of human beings? Anyone who threatens you is not worth your associates, because people who should be in your life are people who are going to take you to the next level, are people who are saying, Bona, comfort, comfort my people, as he said in verse 1. Speak tender to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her heart service has been completed. Hey, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Ooh, praise Jesus. Comfort, comfort my people. Comfort, comfort my people. So God is saying, I've seen how you struggled. I've seen everything that you've gone through. But now I'm calling you in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you in Jesus' mighty name as you teach us, Lord, to fear you. Yesterday, you spoke to us and you said the beginning of wisdom is fearing you, Lord. When we begin to choose you, when we run unto you, our strong tower, and we begin to silence the voices of the enemy, only because, Lord, we are in you, in Jesus' mighty name. The word says, in you we live, in you we move, in you we have our being, in the name of Jesus. The book of John says, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you are the beginning of every battle. You are the beginning of every victory. You are the beginning of every challenging circumstance. And Father God, when we consider you to be the beginning of our existence, then the end is guaranteed in the name of Jesus. Every journey that we have pursued in our lives in the form of a career, that, Lord, people might say it's not the correct path, but Lord, you saw it, oh God, and you deemed it fit for us to via Samaria. Lord, your word says it was necessary for Jesus to via Samaria in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, Samaritan wouldn't experience Jesus. Father, we thank you for the paths that we travel so that people begin to experience you. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that yes, Lord, though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, Lord, we fear no evil because it's just the valley of shadow, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name of death. But Lord, death cannot ensnare us because, Lord, thy rod and thy staff, oh God, they preserve us, oh Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you so much. As your word says, 1,000 may fall on the side, 10,000 on the other side, but none of them will touch us, O God, for only with our eyes will we observe the reward of the wicked. My God, we thank you that, Lord, as we journey to the paths that you are taking us to, just like the wise men, O God, in the name of Jesus, you are leading them, O God, to Bethlehem. Father God, in Jesus' mighty name, yes, they met their master that was born. Father God, we thank you that our vision gets to be born when we follow, O God, the precepts of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift your name on high. We glorify you, O God, because you said you didn't give us a spirit of fear. You gave us spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Lord, thank you for power. Thank you for power, because you say in the book of Isaiah 40, O God, in the verse 29, you say he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So it means we've got power, but there are times when our power gets to be exhausted. You say in the verse 30, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord. So what makes us distinct is that we are all powerful, but those, oh God, we have hope in you, O God. You will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That, Lord, when we come to you, you shall renew our strength. You also say in the book of Isaiah 41, be silent before me, you islands. Let the nations renew their strength. Let them come forward and speak. Let us meet together at the place of judgment. Oh Jesus, we shall meet, O God, with our enemies at the place of judgment, because Lord, you are calling unto us, O God. You are saying, Israel, be silent before me, you islands. Oh Jesus, there are islands that have been talking against us, islands, O God, that have been scheming against us. But Lord God, you are saying, let the nations renew their strength, because I, God, am about to bring judgment. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that, Lord, the islands have seen it and fear, the ends of the earth tremble. They approach and come forward. Each helps the other and says to his brother, be strong. Praise you, Jesus. Lord God, we give you all the praises. The nation awaits judgment, O God. The earth has been groaning, O God, in the name of Jesus, for the sons of men to be manifested. Father, we bless you. We glorify you for it's happening, O God. And Lord, we shall not fail. We shall not go back, O God, without fulfilling the mandate. We thank you, Jesus. We'll look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We love you, Daddy. We bless you. And Lord God, I just want to say thank you for blessing each and every person in this platform. Every knee will bow down. Every tongue will confess that they are Jesus, that their God is Lord. We bless you. I love you and appreciate you guys. Stay blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Good day, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is merciful. His mercies endure forever. His grace abounds to us. Thank you, Jesus. I want to challenge you once again and say, if you want to experience the goodness of the Lord, praise you, Jesus. As you have mentioned, we said the goodness of the Lord comes as purpose, because when you leave your purpose, that's when you say life is good, because you are not competing with anyone. You are actually saying, I am aware of what I'm designed for, and I'm going to unleash my potential so that when I go back to the Father, I'm celebrated. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. So you can only live your purpose, your vision, that revelation, if you fear the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Woo. Yeah, so let's look at the word in the book of Psalm 111. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So Hopolang, we are trying to look at, what are the things, that factors that can stop us from living our purpose? Purpose makes you to be happy.
you become free-spirited. Hallelujah. You are not defined by a dime in your pocket. You are not defined by a car. You are not defined by your profession. You are not defined by your house. You are not defined by how many items you have in life, but you are defined by fulfillment. Praise you, Jesus. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal peace. So I want to ask you this question. How many things make you to live under fear? How many things? I mean, it's there in the book of Psalm 112 where David is also saying, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. So my question is, how many things are contributing to your fear for life? You are fearful of the economy. You are fearful that people are going to bewitch you. You are fearful that things are going to be taken away from you. You are fearful that you won't achieve what you wanted to achieve at a certain age. You are fearful that they said no, they turned you down. You are so fearful. But Mamela, this is a time that you need to fear the Lord. When things are not going according to your plan, when things are not saying yes to your dream, you only have one person to go to, is God. So you can only fear the Lord, because fearing him is when you begin to be wise. So it means you make a decision when you receive bad news, whether you choose Horizon, I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be steadfast because I trust in the Lord. So that's wisdom. Praise you, Jesus. When you say, I choose God beyond every circumstance, I choose God. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what my life is going to be, but my life is in the safe hands. Praise Jesus. My life is in the hands of the one who has created me. So he is the potter and I'm the clay. And he's going to twist this clay to the direction that he wants. So I want to say to you, sometimes your comfort zone is going to be stretched. Sometimes your innocence is going to be stretched. Sometimes your goodness, people say you are good, but God is going to expose the real you. Why is God doing that? He's not exposing it to people, but he's exposing it to you. God is saying, but you know what? You do things not willingly. You do things because you want recognition. You do things because you want affirmation. You do things because you don't want to be left behind. But I'm calling you to purity. I want you to do things because I'm mandating you to do them. Praise you, Jesus. So I want us to dig deeper. You know, this morning I just thought in my status on WhatsApp, I said, the things that we do because we have to do it. We have to do them. We go with the flow. But God is saying, I'm calling unto people that will do what I desire them to do. Praise Jesus. Because he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. So sometimes you don't understand. Understanding is wisdom. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. When you understand, it means you are able to execute the mandate according to how God mandates you. Praise you, Jesus. You've got the whole perfect plan in your hand, because you know, if God say, I want this dimension, in the same token that he spoke to Moses, build me a tabernacle, and he gave him, you know, the dimensions. So this is how the inner court, the outer court, and the Holy of Holies should look like. And God is also saying to us today, I've given you a roadmap. I've given you, you know, all the dimensions that I need you to operate within. So you want to go beyond the dimensions. And that is why you'll meet with jackals and hyenas, because God says, I've designed a mandate. I've designed the dimensions for you. I know what will best suit you. I know where you will be able to thrive. You are not thriving because you are all over. You are not thriving because you don't even want to go to a level where I'm taking you to. You don't want to be stretched, or maybe you have stretched yourself beyond my own principles. Praise you, Jesus. So we can never ever fulfill our purpose when we think we are wise. Praise you, Jesus. They have good understanding. This person have good understanding because they follow his precepts. To him belongs eternal praise. Praise you, Jesus. Meaning that when God looks at this person, God knows that this person is not in competition with anyone. This person is running their own race. This person is allowing me to give them what that mind map, so that road map, meaning that God becomes your plumb line, praise you, Jesus. The structure, the building has an architect who says, this is how far you can go. This is the dimension that I want, praise you, Jesus. So I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you today. What is this thing that God has called you for? If you haven't found it, be this wise person. Fear the Lord and say, God, can I abandon everything that I've been doing? I now realize that it's not what you have called me for. I want to make an example of people who study. There are people who study for years and years. They are never content. You know, after a degree, they do honors. After honors, they do masters. After masters, they do doctorate. They are busy studying. Sometimes you wonder, oh, these people have brains. No, sometimes it's because these people cannot find fulfillment. They don't know where to find it. But it's just a plug, you know, a plug behind their back. If you turn around, you realize that the switch is just behind your back. And behind your back, and you can just switch on the lights. Praise you, Jesus. So we are now on Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. God is looking for people who will find delight in his commands. Praise Jesus. So if you don't agree with what God is doing, you will never be happy. Let me tell you that. Think of Jonah. We once read the scriptures about Jonah. Jonah was mandated to go to a particular place, you know, Moshornaya guy. And Jonah decided not to go there. And it's a mandate. It was purpose. This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. So maybe he just heard the first voice saying, I want you to go to this place. I don't know where God is taking you to. And before you can even ask for the details of your journey, say, so feel out, no, this is not for me. This is not for me. Hey, Mamela, you will never be happy. If you have the mentality, well, this is not for me, this is not for me, you are telling God, Horwena, what is ideal for you? How can you tell the potter what is ideal for you? I remember in the past years, I used to hear, I was still young, somebody was going to say, hey, when I see you ministering to people, I see people coming to you, da 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 da. Hey, I said, hey. Nah, I love God, but I'm not going to be doing those things. Because why? I was looking at what was happening in the body of Christ at the time. But little did I know that over the years, God will say, that person was telling the truth. So I'm saying it's easy for us to reject the word of God. It's so easy because we feel, especially people who carry that truth, that revelation, we feel like, these people are an irritation because this is not who I am. And you start saying to other people, hey, wait till people like prophesying, Mamela, Nakiri, when something is said to us, just like Habakkuk, write it down, pray about it and ask God, God, did you call me for this? Hallelujah. And God will give you signs. Praise Jesus. So stop fearing men, man. Stop fearing men. There's a scripture that I like in the Bible. It says, stop fearing men whose breath is in his nostrils. Amen. Today they breathe, tomorrow they are gone. Hey, amen. Come to God. Come to God. The way you are, the way you are, God is saying, I want to use you for the nations. What is the best achievement in life is having an ear to hear what the Spirit says. That's the best achievement. Because once you get that, it is better than rubies, it is better than gold, it's better than silver, it's better than any other precious metal you can think of. Why? Because you've got something that people do not have. Praise you, Jesus. So I want to challenge you today. If you don't know where to go, if you don't know how to start action in your vision, Gamrata David, Ori, he will have no fear of bad news. Psalm 112, verse 7. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes, his enemies. Woo! He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. Thank you, Jesus. And Ebona Irene, the wicked man will see and be vexed. Ooh, the wicked man will be awed. He will be embarrassed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Praise you, Jesus. So, Mamed, Mamela, what I'm saying. Every human being on planet Earth has derailed themselves or been derailed by circumstances in action in the mandate called purpose. But God is calling unto us. Oracle Jeremiah 33, call unto me and I will answer you. And I will show you greater things. Amen. You think you are that? Hi, man. Who said you are that? Praise you, Jesus. I'll show you greater things that you never knew of. Imagine when God says, yeah, man, people have said this and that and that. And that is true, my son. That is true, my daughter. But I want to show you things that you never knew of. They're greater things. Ooh. Praise you, Jesus. I'm pursuing these greater things. I know that the mind of God is not my mind, but God, may you favor me and show me these greater things that I've never known. Praise you, Jesus. Good people, I love you so much. I appreciate you. And I wish you all the peace in heaven, all the peace that God can grant you. And you can only find it when you come to God and say, Lord, have your way in me. I love you guys. Stay blessed.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Letsholenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jerzy Lea. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit, and that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a net. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, the New King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They play a very, very important role in the life of a believer. Because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things: issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids, which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit. Bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the true core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the word of God. And who is the word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the word become flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is no more, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, He made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, "I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger." In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, "I am the life." But again, in John, he says, "I am the bread of life." That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, "He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst." These are two things, taking you back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricked and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, "You must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil." So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because the devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know there were two trees in the Garden of Eden, there was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking. He says, "Whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God." There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So in other words, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the word that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten. When the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. Because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full, because you can be full of the food that is not healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it got to change you, and you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know, if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs, according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are eating, you have shed some pounds, and you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. Only then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If it does act physically, imagine the spiritual diet. We can't feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with the woman at the well of Jacob, when he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband. He says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual test that manifest with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in your situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our walk, we can only do it by taking our master's advice. who said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again. We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is, so that we do not thirst for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to drink things that reveals our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our thirst for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our lives, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point he said to his disciples, if you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say, this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ, with a revelation that where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we got to repent. If it gives us a peck on the back, we got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And he says, you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven, so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the word we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and say, arise up and eat, for the road is so long. You must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again as we read our scripture in the basis and in doing justice to this topic is that in the basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is, only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. Not just go home to get a wet pen to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, these are dimensions of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat. It would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted, when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, we also milk drinking with eating, because these two also works for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions. We launch into the deep. We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can preach a powerful message. And we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie, because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world, and they don't just come empty-handed. They come with look-alike, real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat and you choose the places where you eat, because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. And welcome to this broadcast today. Brothers and sisters, we are afforded this time again to share the word with you. We are grateful for this platform. Please do not forget to keep us in your prayers as we also pray for you and your families. And please pray for our family members too. It's not an easy task that we are mandated to fulfill or to commit to, because it comes with a whole lot of attacks. But either way, we shall still continue to preach the gospel and win souls for the Lord Jesus. Please do not also forget the hands, or do not forget to pray for the hands that have provided this platform, and pray for their family members too. In Jesus' name, amen. Brethren, look at what is happening in our days. Countries such as South Africa are now facing natural disasters. America has always been known. The United States of America has always been known for a country that suffers from natural disasters. What are one of the provinces known for natural disasters in South Africa? Cape Town. There's barely rain in Cape Town. There are bushveld fires and etc., etc. Look at countries like Haiti. And the list goes on and on.
You need to check something out, brethren. All these countries and places where natural disaster takes place, it's not a coincidence. Please listen to what I'm saying to you. It is not a coincidence. God still speaks. God still punishes. And God insists on having things His way. No one can mock God. God cannot be mocked. God shall have His way. God is never there is no way you can bully God. There is no way you can bulldoze God. There is no way you can give God a headache. Excuse me. It's not possible. God insists on having things His way, and it shall be His way. Or the highway. There's no other way. You can't never fool God. God shall have His way. So-called spiritual fathers, where are you? Our country is threatened with corruption. CSE, Comprehensive Sex Education, regulation of religion, talking about self-regulation and regulating religion. What nonsense is all this? When we used to have prayer in schools in South Africa, the rates of deaths in students or learners was not that as high as we are facing in our days. It's as if week in, week out, there is a new case of murder with our learners in South Africa. In school premises, school outings, any school activities. Our students are just bound for danger. South Africa, I need you to wake up. But not just South Africa, all of you brethren around the world, I need you to wake up. Disrespect God long enough and see if there won't be consequences. God is slow to anger. It's not that God has an anger. He is slow to anger. And as He is slow to anger, trust me, its consequences are not like man's consequences or punishment. I marvel at these believers that always, not even believers, people who always say, God can judge me. Only God can judge me. You have no idea of how dangerous the statement is. You are better off man judging you than God judging you. The day God judges you, I'm telling you, you'll ask for the earth to swallow you. You don't want God's judgment upon you. Trust me, you don't want God's judgment upon you. Wake up, brethren in Christ. Wake up. It's no coincidence what's been taking place in this town in Tennessee, in Nashville, where they've been struck with a very bad tornado or hurricane. It's no coincidence. South Africa, our students are dying. This CSE thing has taken the stats of the death toll of our learners high. I am not lying. Look at the CSE thing. Look at the rates of our students, or sorry, learners dying, you know, in school facilities or anything that is linked to school. Now, child kidnappings and all that. Wake up, brethren. Wake up. As a prominent man in South Africa who's of royalty said, if we are to allow this CSE thing to corrupt our children, God shall deal with us harshly. It's true. He shall. Wake up. Wake up, brethren. Wake up. You so-called spiritual fathers, where are you? Why are you endorsing CSE? Has your heart really grown that cold? That you've completely lost sight of what you are in Christ? Let alone the title you possess or have in the name of God. Wake up, brethren in Christ, wake up. Wake up. And those who are quiet, you are as guilty as those endorsing this corruption in our country. Wake up, brethren, wake up. Before God deals with us harshly. Let us open our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6 reads as follows. Now it happened when man began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful and desirable, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose and desired. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive and remain with man forever, because he is indeed flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall yet be 120 years. There were Nephilims on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God lived with daughters of men. They gave birth to their children. These were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination or intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The Lord regretted that he had made mankind on the earth, and he was deeply grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy mankind whom I have created from the surface of the earth, not only man, but the animals and the crawling things and the birds of the air, because it grieves me and I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor and grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Now Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the land was filled with violence. God looked on the earth and saw how debased and degenerate it was, for all humanity had corrupted their way on the earth and lost their true direction. God said to Noah, "I intend to make an end of all that lives, for through men the land is filled with violence, and behold, I am about to destroy them together with the land. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make it in its rooms and coat it inside and out with pitch. Let's end it there and continue on chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you with all your household, for you I have seen as righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean animal you shall take with you seven pair, the male and his female, and of animals that are not clean, two each, the male and his female. Also of the birds of the air, seven pair, the male and the female, to keep the offspring alive on the surface of the earth. For in 7 days I am going to cause it to rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy every living thing that I have made from the surface of the earth." So Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the water came on the earth. Then Noah and his sons and his wife and sons' wives with him entered the ark to escape the floods or the flood waters. Of clean animals and animals that are not clean, the birds and the fowls, and everything that crawls on the ground, they came into the ark with Noah, two by two, the male and the female, just as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the flood waters came on the earth in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month. On the same day, all the fountains of the great deep burst open, and the windows of the floodgates of heaven were open. It rained on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark, they and every animal according to its kind, all the livestock according to their kinds. Every moving thing that crawls on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its own kind. Every winged thing of every sort. So they went into the ark with Noah, two by two, of all living beings, in which there was the breath and the spirit of life. Those which entered, male and female, of all flesh, entered, as God had commanded Noah. and the Lord closed the door behind him. The flood was 40 days and 40 nights on the earth, and the waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it floated above the land. The waters became mighty and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the waters. The water prevailed so greatly and were so mighty and overwhelming on the earth, so that all the high mountains everywhere under the heavens were covered. The waters became 50 cubits higher, and the mountains were covered. All living beings that moved on the earth perished, birds and cattle, animals, all things that swam and crawl on the earth, and all mankind, everything on the dry land, and all in whose nostrils was the breath and the spirit of life, died. God destroyed every living thing that was on the surface of the earth, man and animals, and the crawling things and the birds of the heavens were destroyed from the land. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. The waters covered the earth for 150 days. Are you looking for that, brethren in Christ? Do you want to be on the receiving end of God's judgment because of wickedness? Do you believe in Christ? I surely know that I do not want that of myself and my loved ones. In fact, all of you, because you're all my loved ones. Let's read our last scripture in the book of Genesis chapter 19, just to show you that God really means business. When sin rises, God punishes. It was evening when the two angels came to Sodom. Lot was sitting at Sodom's gate. Seeing them, Lot got up to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground, and he said, "See here, my lords, please turn aside and come into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may get up early and go on your way." But they said, "No, we shall spend the night in the open plaza." However, Lot strongly urged them, so they turned aside and entered his house. And he prepared a feast for them, and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house, all men from every quarter. And they called out to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we may know them." But Lot went out of the doorway to the men and shut the door after him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not do something so wicked. See here, I have two daughters whom have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you can do as you please with them, only to do nothing to these men, because they have in fact come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Get out of the way." And they said, "This man came to live here temporarily, and now he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than your visitors. So they rushed forward and pressed violently against Lot and came close to breaking down the door. But the men reached out with their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. They struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, from the young men to the old men, so that they exhausted themselves trying to find the doorway. And the men asked Lot, "Have you any other here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters? Whomever you have in the city, take them out of here, for we are destroying this place because the outcry against them has grown so great because the Lord has sent us to destroy and ruin it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, and said, "Get up and get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy this city." But to his sons-in-law, he appeared to be joking. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Get up, take your wife and two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away with the punishment of the city." But Lot hesitated and lingered. The man took hold of his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, because the Lord was merciful to them. And they brought him out and left him outside the city. When they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you or stop anywhere in the entire valley. Escape to the mountains, and you will be consumed and swept away." But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords, please listen. Your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness to me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, because the disaster will overtake me and I will be killed. Now look, this town is near enough for us to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there so that my life will be saved." And the angel said to him, "Behold, I grant you this request also. I will not destroy this town of which you have spoken. Hurry and take refuge there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." For this reason, the town was named Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained down brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and the entire valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and whatever grew on the ground. But Lot's wife from behind looked, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham started out early the next morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of Kiln. Now when God ravaged and destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he sent Lot out of the midst of the destruction when he had destroyed the cities in which Lot had lived. I am, through this whole session, I'm feeling some coldness coming upon me because I really fear for this nation, South Africa in specific. I don't know about these other countries, but I know that this country needs to really repent of its corruption. If these two scriptures are not warning enough towards you or to you, my brethren, I don't know what more scriptures you need. I pray that we all repent. I pray that South Africa repents and banishes this nonsense of comprehensive sex education and regulation of religion and bring back prayer into our schools.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chico Tu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Today, I want us to remind one another that we serve a mighty God, able God, unfailing God, and never-changing God. Our topic for today says, we serve God who never changes. When we read the Word of God in Malachi 3, verse 6, it says that He is God, He does not change. We are living in the days where our enemy is trying on a daily basis to make a statement, that God has changed. But I want us to remind one another that God has not changed. He is still mighty. God is still able. God is still unfailing. God is still faithful. And He is still that God of Elijah, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham. He's still the same God, the one who He delivered His people before. He is the same God even in our generation. From the beginning of the time, God has not changed. Time changes, season changes, circumstances changes, people changes, and the economy changes, but God remains the same. When we read Hebrews 18, verse 8, the Word of God says He is the same yesterday. God is the same today. And God is still the same even forevermore. And I want us to remember this today, that even the challenges that we are facing, it does not mean that God has changed. He is still the same God. He is still able to deliver us. He is still able to save us. He is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we ask Him for. I want us to remember that God is still God. Sometimes when things we don't understand what's happening in our lives, we begin to wonder if God is still with us. And I want us to remember today that God is still with us. We must not have, we must not doubt that He is still with us. We must not have fear of tomorrow or fear of the challenges that we faced with. We must remember all the time that God is still God and He is a powerful God. When we read Colossians 1, verse 16 to 17, the Word of God says, "For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, everything we need to remember that exists because of God. We are nothing without him. In him, the word of God says, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. So whatsoever things that are happening, even in our days, we need to remember and still trust that God, he is still God, and he has never changed. There are so many things that are happening in our lives on a daily basis, but whatsoever situation that you find yourself in, whatever challenge that you are faced with, do not forget that God is still the same God. He promised us in his word that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Whenever we go through deep waters, in Isaiah 43, he says when we go through deep waters, the waters will not overwhelm us. And we trust God, even if when situations around us, they want to prove otherwise. Let us continue to trust God because God is a faithful God even in our days. And the word of God, when it carries on in Colossians 1:16-17, it says all things were created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creations together, meaning that God is in control. He is control of the heavens. He is in the control on the earth. He is in control above all other things. So whenever we go through difficult times, let us not forget that God, he is still an able God. Let us not forget that God is still able even in our days. The word of God says that God is able and nothing is impossible with him. When we read the word of God in Luke 1:37, it says that everything with God is impossible. Sometimes our situation may seem to be impossible to us, but with God, there's nothing that is impossible with him. He is still able to set us free. He is still able to save us. He is still able to come through for us. He is still God who's able to make a way. Like he said in Isaiah 43, verse 19, he is still God who can make a way in the wilderness. He is still God who can create rivers in the desert. He is still God who is unfailing. He is still God who is able to do things that we expect him to do. God still delivers even in our days. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful Father. He is still the same God who keeps his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Let us continue to trust God. Let us continue to trust God like Job did. When we read the word of God about Job, I have found that Job has trusted God through difficult times that he was faced with in his life. There are seasons that came into the Job's life, but I found that Job has been a man who trusts God, who trusted God no matter what. There are times that came, the times that some of us were not going to be able to stand, but Job trusted God irrespective of what every situation he found himself in. And when we read the word of God, it tells us so much about him, and there are so many things and so many events that has happened in his life. But through it all, he remained firm, trusting in God. He trusted God when things were making sense in his life, and when things when they were not making sense in his life. Job refused to give up. Job refused to give in. Job continuously trusted God. There was a time where Job said, "My Redeemer liveth." And at the time when he was going through difficult times, he said, "My Redeemer lives." Not because everything was going perfect in his life, not because things were going perfect in his world, but because he trusted God irrespective of the situation he found himself in. When we read Psalms 125, the word of God reminds us that those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. Of Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. We need to trust God even in our days. There is so much that is happening in our own world. There are challenges that we are faced with. It might be a marital challenge. It might be children. It might be at work. It might be wherever that you live on a daily basis. We are faced with different challenges, but in all challenges that we go through, we need to remind ourselves now and then to trust in the Lord. because the thing that we when challenges come, and then we want now to forget, when challenges come, they come as if they want us to forget that we are serving a mighty God. Let us not forget that we are serving a powerful God who is still able to save us even in our time. The challenges and difficult times that we are facing, we need to hold on and trust in God. We need to hold on and do not let anything else to take away that kind of the relationship that you have between yourself and God. Like Job did, Job trusted in God. He trusted in God when things were going perfect in his life. He trusted in God when everything else around him was falling apart. But Job continuously trusted in God. He trusted in God when he received the news, when he received the bad news that all of his children died. Job still continued trusting in God. When Job heard all these bad reports, when we read Job 1, verse 20 to 21, the word of God says that we see how he reacted. How he reacted when he received the bad report about his children, when he received a bad report about his employees, when he received a bad report. Job, instead of reacting in another way, instead of blaming God, instead of questioning God, instead of asking God why, he took the time and his immediate reaction was to worship God first. So we need to learn that whenever we go through difficult times, let us not tend to think that God has left us, because God will never leave us and he will never forsake us. The word of God in Numbers says that he is not a man that he should lie, and he's not a son of man to change his mind. So times changes and seasons changes and things are happening in our lives, but God remains the same. He is still faithful and God can be trusted. He can be trusted to keep all his promises. God can be trusted even if situations seem as if God will never come through for us, but we need to believe that God is gonna come through for us. The word of God in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, it tells us that God is faithful. He keeps all his promises. The word of God says, for all the promises of God are yes and they are amen. All the promises of God are yes in Christ, and so through him, the promises of God are amen. And we need to trust all his promises, everything that he has spoken on his word over our lives. We need to trust that if God has said something, he's not going to change. He is in control. Things will come into our lives, they will pass, but God will never change and he remains the same. He's unchanging. We need to trust God like Job did whenever he was faced with a difficult time. There is so much that happened. His wife said to him, he must curse God. But Job, because he knew the relationship that he had with God, he never cursed God, because he trusted God on God's mighty power. We need to trust in God's abilities. We need to trust that God is able. We need to trust that God can deliver us. We need to trust that God, he can still come through for us even in our day and time. And we need to see him as a powerful God. We need to trust that even if the things are not going the way we are expecting them to go, but God is going to come through for us. And we need to trust in the Lord and trust in his mighty power and trust in that God, he is able and God will never change. He is an unfailing God. We have seen God coming through for Paul and Silas in time that was difficult, and when they were beaten and thrown into a cell room, the word of God tells us that instead of them looking at the pain and looking at the things that they were going through, they chose to rather praise God. They chose to rather focus on God. They chose to rather praise and worship God.
things that come through into our life, let us not allow them to take our focus away from God. Like David says in Psalms 121, that I will lift up my eyes unto the hills where my help comes from. My help cometh from the Lord. Let us also remind ourselves whenever we go and we face difficult times and challenges in our life, let us remember to focus on God and keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us not allow the enemy to take control. Let us not give him a room. Let us not allow him to whisper in our spirit. Let us not allow him to change us. Let us not allow him to tell us that God will not come through for us. In every situation that you find yourself in today, believe that God's supernatural power, God's power is able to reach you where you are. You don't have to go out and east, west, and start seeking for help. All we need to do, like the days of the old, we just need to kneel down and call upon the name of the living God and call upon him who is able to hear us. When we read Psalms 91, it tells us that whenever we call upon him, he will answer. He said that when we call him, he will answer, he will honor us, and he will deliver us. And the very same God who delivered the children of Israel, he is the same God who delivers even in our day and age. We should trust him no matter what comes our way. Let us not waver. Let us not allow the enemy to make us think that God is unable, to make us think that God cannot reach out to us, to make us think that God cannot come through for us. Let us trust God, even if situations may seem like, even if situations seem like impossible situations, but let us trust that God is an able God. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Our God is a faithful God all the time. He is not a man that he should lie or to change. Whatever that God has spoken over your life, whatever that God has promised over your life, it will come to pass. The word of God, when we read it, it says his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. At times we don't understand the way he does things. We don't understand the way he controls things. We don't understand the way he wants to do things. But we should trust that God knows what is best for us. We should trust that God knows what is best for us all the time. God above each and everything, above us, above everyone living around us, it's only God who knows what is best for us. And he also knows a right time for us to receive that which we are asking him for and we are hoping for. And sometimes because of that, we become so frustrated because God is not responding at the time that we are looking, we are expecting him to respond. But even if God may delay, even if God may not give you an immediate answer, do not doubt. Stand firm on your ground. Stand firm on faith. Believe, have faith and trust God and believe him and believe him and believe him and believe that he will come through for you at his right time. At times what frustrates us is expecting God to respond in a certain time, in certain ways.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Napa Know
How. Napa Guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa Know-How. Napa Know-How.